And hello and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Para podcast, live on Facebook, live on YouTube, and also the audio will be available on Apple and Spotify. So thank you very much for joining us. Feel free to drop in any comments in the comments section and we'll endeavour to get to those. Joining us in the house tonight, we have Hayden from the Entertain House. We have Joel from A League of Inches. We have myself, Troy, from the Paracave podcast, and we also have our illustrious host, Adam, who apparently hates Origin. So over to you, Adam, with Origin on tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll get to that soon.
Okay, but no worries.
We'll talk about Origin a bit later. I do hate Origin, and I think we all know the reason why I hate Origin, obviously given last week's result. I don't think I hate Origin. I think I hate Brad Fittler and I hate Dead Rubbers. And I spoke about this on Joel's podcast last week, but we need to go to an American style system where we don't play the third game. And it's because it's pointless. Like, they're struggling to sell the game out. They're giving away 2-for-1 tickets today to try and get a crowd there. And let's be honest, the Queenslanders are going to come out of everywhere. Like, you know, about half of Bowerville's traveling down to the game, just, you know, because that's obviously one of the closest Queensland cities around. So they're all traveling down the game and they'll be there. So anyway, let's talk Para first. We'll talk a bit about Origin later. And yeah, that was a little GI jab.
Did no one else miss the little countdown at the start? It's just not the same.
We miss the music. I miss feeling like I'm in space. Now, look, let's get straight to last week's game. Obviously, look, I think even as the biggest diehard fans, we all saw a loss coming. I know we didn't tip that, but we spoke about, we knew it was going to be a tough game, playing a nearly full strength Warriors team. Sean Johnson's missus couldn't get that baby out, unluckily for us. So he played. And obviously Parramatta, you know, look, it's very hard to go into a game. We were missing our, like, I know it sounds weird, I'm going to say this, and Joel's going to probably pull front, but we're missing our first choice 1, 6, 7, 8, and 9, because he is our first choice 9. We had, he's not even our starting second rower. He's one of our bench second rowers these days, playing 5-8. We had a winger playing fullback. I know he's played some fullback in his junior career. So we're all over the sorts. That's why I hate Origin. That's why it's coming off. Not because New South Wales suck. It's just coming off, all right? It's coming off because I hate what they did to our team. They didn't need to pick all those players. And then to see it come out this week that Freddie actually doesn't have a plan for Gutho. And there was rumours floating around that Gutho was... I'm on a rant already. I know we haven't got to Adam's rant, but it's happening. to see that Gutho... There was no plan for him. They were going to potentially sit him out of the game and bring in Spencer Linu or whatever it is. That's another Penrith player I don't care about, to be honest. And look, they've said that's probably not going to happen now. They're probably going to drop Damien Cook out.
Knocked on the head. It's not going to happen. Linu
won't. None of it's going to happen. Not even Cook or Gutherson. It's confirmed by Fittler that Gutherson will be playing tomorrow night, locked in.
Linu's
not playing. But how much is he going to be playing? He could be playing 5 minutes. Anyway, look, we'll get to Origin soon. We'll let Hayden have his moment to watch the Queenslanders probably go on a 3-0 sweep. But let's talk about the game. Look, it was obviously disappointing. I've got a lot to say because, as I said, I saw the loss coming, but I backed our defensive structure and I was really disappointed with some of the players' efforts. Brad Arthur, believe it or not, which I don't believe, he has swung the axe on two of the players that really underperformed. And it should be a warning shot to everyone else. But look, I'll go to Hayden first. I never really usually do go to Hayden first. So I'll go to Hayden first and get his thoughts on, obviously, Saturday night's disappointment.
Yeah, obviously a disappointing result. You mentioned it, that we all tipped Parramatta, but we kind of saw this one coming. We're all, you know, one-eyed fans and just hoped for a win, hoped for the streak to keep going. I think the big thing with this game, obviously we've seen some changes, players go to the bench, player out of the side, is that, look, it definitely would have been a closer game with those three players, but, you know, it just showed that there are some defence of players currently within our team that even if they were there, you know, the defence isn't up to scratch. You know, they were going through the middle, targeting us through the middle, setting up long-range tries, which, you know, if Gutherson was there, those short-range tries would have been stopped. I reckon some of those crash-over plays, he's so good at that type, but they were just, you know, running circles basically around us. And for us to put on that big score up at, you know, not Redcliffe, Sunshine Coast, it basically meant almost nothing now, considering that we scored that loss, that 30-4 at halftime. Look, I'll say it now. Player of the match, Bailey Simonson. Can't give a rap enough. We've mentioned it for weeks, how good he's been in that centre. And with Will having one of his rare off games, in my opinion, the other day, Bailey just stood up and made try-saving tackle at the start of the game. And even when the score was looking nasty, he was just trying his best. But, yeah, very disappointing result and just need to be better through the middle this week. And we mentioned it last week, the Ofahi, Ogden and Junior Paulo both starting. You could tell from the get-go that it didn't work. I did like Dejan Arcee's running game as well. I thought he was pretty solid in the game.
Yep, Troy.
Yeah, look, I mean, we all knew it was going to be tough going into this game to win it with the players that we had out and the Warriors near full strength, and it was a good opportunity for them to solidify a top eight position, which they always tend to do during this period of Origin because they don't have many representation players. So, yeah, look, it was really disappointing, the result, the amount of points that were scored against us. Look, I think during the season, I think every team's going to have a bad loss throughout the season. It just depends on the amount of points that's put on them. This was ours. I think the right-hand defence was pretty terrible. And just the overall defence, I think the Warriors, you could see in the Warriors' defence, they were having 2-3 players in every tackle and they were pulling off some big hits. And I just don't think there was the aggression in our defence. Junior had a quiet game, I thought, by his standards. We got the inside tip that Will was probably a little bit crook and maybe not should have played. It showed that with him being palmed off for a try, because we know he is better than that. So, yeah, look, it was hard. It was disappointing that the players that came in for the representative players didn't take that opportunity and really stand up and show Brad Arthur and I guess the fans and the other players in the team that if those players are out due to representative commitments or injury or whatever, that they can slot into this side and do a job. But look, a crucial loss. It's just going to put more pressure on the team this week and moving forward as well, with us in seventh and a few teams nipping at our heels to get into that top eight.
I guess one of the good things about the teams nipping at our heels is we know we need to win these games. You know, obviously there's those games at the start of the year and we called for panic stations because of those games we lost. We knew how hard the run home was. But I guess for the boys now, like given that loss, because really at the start of the year, looking at your home games, you would have penciled in a game against the Warriors as a home win for sure. I guess it's one of those things now where if we probably drop one more game, which is a fair chance we do it either North Queensland or Melbourne, we're probably playing finals football every week. And we've seen some of our best football over the years when we are playing that finals football every week.
Yeah, that won't be such a bad thing, but it'll be a pressure thing.
It's hard to get yourselves up for a game every week, but I guess the benefit of having the bye in round 27 as well is it gives you that week to, you know, rest and prepare. Joel, your thoughts firstly on that game?
It was just really disappointing, to be really honest. I know we were missing a lot of...
Did you say the effort was there, though, Joel?
No, I wouldn't. For once, I actually wouldn't say the effort was there. As Hayden mentioned, I think Bailey and maybe Dejan, definitely the effort was there, but a lot of our players who were there to sort of press their claim for this run home and to be part of the squad for the run home, I thought a lot of these players were disappointing. For mine, it might be controversial, but I don't actually think the Warriors played that great. When you go back and look at it, we were just extremely poor and extremely soft. If you go look at the start, they had a really good plan in place. They had Sean Johnson running at Davey and just testing that out the first couple of minutes and first few sets. And he got on the outside and started to create stuff real early on. And I thought that was a danger sign. And then they just started going us through the middle. And we just had players who just were out of their depth, and people like Maka, who we've obviously talked about already, who's been dropped, just couldn't handle the pace. And we've all basically said it about him throughout this season that he's not up to first grade standard. And once again, it sort of got shown that way. And I think, if anything, it just showed us as fans and probably BA and the coaching staff is how crucial Reg is to our side. Junior's been really disappointing. I was really disappointed in his efforts. He was talking a big game beforehand, saying that he wants to use this as a sort of a up you sort of to the Blues and make a statement of the game. And I thought, if anything, he went backwards even more. And that's probably saying something about him this year. Look, I thought Russell was a bit out of position. I know he's played wing most of the year. He was a bit disappointing. I thought he's a real energy player, and I don't think we really got much out of him. But, it was a hard game for a fullback to have much of a say in when you're getting tries scored against you back-to-back-to-back. So, yeah, that's me. I know, Adam, you want to have your rant, so off you go.
Yeah, look, I'll touch on Russell quickly because you've given me a good segue there. But I'd love to see Russell at fullback. We saw, obviously, that pretty spectacular try that was wrongly taken off him. I would love to see Russell get a crack at fullback with our starting half and 5-8 there and our full forward pack. I think it'd be dangerous to see. He's got that speed. Obviously, it adapts a different style, having an all-out speed fullback as opposed to Gutho, who's an effort fullback. But we can't write off that he's not a fullback based on that performance. He tried his ass off, and you know, I thought he actually went quite okay. Pretty disappointing performance. As for Junior, I think, really, he's feeling the effects of a big run from the World Cup last year. He hasn't been the same player all year. He put his heart and soul into that Samoan team. And then, obviously, to play two Origin games as well, he just hasn't had that rest.
He played the most games out of anyone last year. So.
Yeah, 100%. And you can see the effects of it. And the thing is, we don't have time to give him a rest now. Look, if I was Brad Arthur, I would almost concede a defeat last week and given him a rest last week. And prepared him to go against, you know, you can't give him a rest this week because you've obviously got RCG hopefully backing up after Origin. Then we go into the Cowboys.
I know it's too far away. Can you rest him against the Dragons? Like, that's far away.
The next chance to rest him against the Dragons is, but really, if we were to drop both the Cowboys and
Melbourne, must win.
Yeah.
It's a must. It's not just a must win. It's a must win by points, really. Like, we've got to go out there and win that big. So you want your strongest seven on the field. And we're almost at a point. I don't know. Is Dylan back the week after that? It's not the Dragons game.
No, he's back round 23.
Yeah, he should be back for the Storm game.
Oh. Dragons is round 23. Dragons is round 23. Yeah.
So round 23, Sunday, 6th of August, when we get Dylan back. And obviously that's going to be, obviously touch wood, no injuries. That's going to be our first big chance to have our full strength team on the field since pretty much the start of the year. Obviously, with the injuries he had in the forward packs and things along those lines. So, look, it's a hard one for Junior. I hope as we get to that close to that finals footy and those, we see Junior play his best footy when he's got to get himself up for the big game, see Penrith, in Melbourne, you know, those kinds of games along there where he has to, like Brisbane, you've got to get yourself up every week for. So, hopefully, he can get himself up for them and we can see the best out of him. But I want to talk more about the disappointment of some of the players on the weekend. Yeah, valid point, Ben. They all got a rest, but I think he needs multiple rests and he needs to sit back and watch a game and kind of realise what he's doing wrong, to be honest. Let's talk about Sivo first. I'm going to go through his stats and I feel like it's a broken record because we always seem to go it. But one of those games where you've got a reshuffled back line, we know the metres Gutho makes at fullback. He makes huge metres. Russell A ran for 89 metres. Russell's never going to have those returns at fullback that Gutho has because he's not strong enough. He tried his ass off, but he's not strong enough. But for Sivo to only have 8 runs for 52 metres is disgraceful, to be honest.
It's his 100th game as well.
Yeah, he was missing. He was missing
in action. He hasn't scored a try in a month or over a month now as well.
I think teams are sort of doing the deliberate kick to him as well on the fifth tackle as well. So it takes out takes out his charges into the defence as well.
Yeah, but Adam, can I just ask with that, what was the stats for your man, Lumi? Because I actually as much as I thought Sivo, like as bad as we've seen it and we expected Lumi to, you know, be even worse, I actually thought Lumi was the better winger. Yeah, he let in a lot of tries, but attacking-wise, something that we haven't seen from Sivo was, you know, actually running the ball forward instead of running sideways, things like that. Yeah, I thought Lumi actually had a crack, to be honest, besides, as you said, conceding a few tries down his edge.
Well, he's lost on the wing, but I don't think we ever question Lumi's attacking ability. You know, like that run he made 20, like about 15 minutes into the game where he went through him and just absolutely got through him and just continued to go. And I think he got 3 tackle busts in that one run. So I think no one was ever questioning that. He ran for, 5 runs. Where is it? Sorry, not 5 runs. I've got to find him. He's in there. 11 runs for 102 metres. So obviously a lot more than Sivo. As you said, obviously the tactic to kick to Sivo, that's one thing. But for me, Sivo doesn't go looking for those runs as well. Like, if they kick to the fullback, he's there for the second run, or he's there if they give him a decent kick return. He never goes and actually looks for the run. Like, it's not hard to get hit after taking a kick. You're not at full speed. So you should be able to back up and have your third or fourth one, in my opinion. Look, I'll say it again. Sivo, it seems rough when he's the leading try scorer, but is he still the leading try scorer? Was there many try scored across the league?
I think he's been overtaken now.
He's the leading try scorer for Parramatta just anyway, but he needs a week in New South Wales Cup. We've got Wonga there. People kind of said to me at the game, why would you play Wonga? Like, all the shit he's done, like, you know, the club wanting him gone and stuff. The reason I give Wonga a run is he's playing for his career. The club's told him that he won't be re-signed next year. He's not sticking around. So you put a bloke like him on the wing and say you're out there to get an opportunity, he's going to play his frigging ass off. And that's why he should have been given the opportunity on the weekend. But that's just my opinion.
Well, just one quick thing about Sivo as well is the fact that... there was a Warriors try that they scored on his side, and he actually had the opportunity to take the intercept and run down the field, but he was watching the man, not the ball. So if he's watching the ball, he could have had the chance to take that intercept, but the ball went over his head and they scored on his side. Yeah. So that's a little bit disappointing as well. You've got to watch the ball, not the man.
No football brains at all. He doesn't get the game.
While we're talking about Sivo, and I just want to make that point, is that I think what we've seen on the weekend is just how important Gutho and Moses is to him. And we've said it before that they literally are an on-field coach for him. And once you take those two away from him, he disappeared. It literally looked like he had no idea what he was doing out there, and as if he didn't even know a single rule of the game in a way. It was just sort of, he was just lost.
I didn't see any elbows from him, but...
Well, that's the point I was about to make about the elbows. The biggest thing for me is every time Sivo's had to adapt his game in some way, like when Brad Parker absolutely flattened him that time and took his knee out, it took him a year nearly to get a running confident style back to take on the line again. We've now seen him have to adapt his running style so he doesn't lift his arms and then bump off like he does. So it's like he was scared to get the ball for that reason, because he's had to adapt. And he just doesn't seem like a player that can adapt his style. The one thing
I want to point out, which Josh has mentioned there in the comments about Wonga being a bit lackluster, we often see, you know, a player who's out of form go and play a New South Wales Cup game, score three tries, run 200 metres, these unbelievable stats, which is something we could see with Sivo. But do you think that he would carry in that form to New South Wales Cup with how bad that side's going? If he was to actually get, you know, that tap on the shoulder to say, you need to go here, you need to get your confidence up, do you think he's going to play out of his skin to get his back in the side?
Or I reckon any player would, I reckon.
Well, Wonga's. Because
they want to play first grade.
I'll give you the first reason why Wonga's not. Wonga's on $750,000 a year to play New South Wales Cup at the moment. So Wonga doesn't give a shit what happens in New South Wales Cup. Doesn't matter how well he plays. And by all reports, he was a bit better on the weekend in New South Wales Cup. Doesn't matter how well he plays, he's not going to help that team win his game. If I'm coaching New South Wales Cup and I've got Wonga Blakey in my team, I'm putting Wonga at fullback and making him work, making him have those runs. And that's what Brad Arthur should be obviously talking to New South Wales Cup coach about, because for me, it's the only way he's going to, because he knows he's gone at the end of the year and he doesn't seem to care. Look, he's probably going to go to the Super League and he's probably going to get good money based on what he's done 2 or 3 years ago over there anyway, and he's probably going to be able to play like he's playing New South Wales Cup there. So as for Sivo, I don't know. I've never been a big Sivo fan. I know his ability to score tries, but I just don't think he's adapted his game enough. And I'll be 100%. I'll say there is 1,000 Sivos in Fiji that can do the job that he's doing. And that's me being 100% honest. I've obviously been around a lot of Fijian players in rugby league. I've coached Fijian nines teams, a lot of mates at Fijians. And I have had blokes for years trying to get me to go to Fiji and bring a couple of players back to live with me. They've got this awesome program over there and play football locally. And they all promise me they're better than Sivo. So it's, you know, it's something we need to consider. If we do obviously want to continue to target that, it's time to actually start putting the work in as a club.
Has that, on the weekend's result and how we've seen a lot of some of the players play who we thought could step up and get the job done, has it worried you guys about our depth for the run home in terms of maybe not having as good a depth as we thought probably a few weeks ago?
I think absolutely, but I think we've all spoken, we haven't mentioned on the podcast, but obviously looking at Joey Lussick coming back potentially to the club makes that factor huge. I think it was Adam who made a point that I love to see, you know, Lussick in that 9, Hands in that 14, because I still question the whole Hands 80 minutes thing. And we've seen Josh Hodgson obviously being announced as pretty much out for the season now with that neck surgery. So, yeah, it's a little bit of an issue with the depth. I think it's good in the half. You know, Dejan Arce coming through, we've seen some good games there. We get Dylan back, and if, you know, Dylan or Mitch was to go down, we've got depth there. But, yeah, within, you know, under strength, or underperforming forwards, as well as, I guess, a backup 9, I think there is a bit of depth issues this season compared to, you know, 2021, where Reed went down and we had options. But, yeah.
I'll get to that, because I was going to go to the last thing later, so we'll just leave that a little bit. We'll have a little separate conversation about that. But one thing that was inevitable to me on the weekend was, obvious to me, was how much our middle struggled. And I've been looking at the stats today. Look, I said last week, and Hayden's obviously already touched on it, starting Ogden and Ploy was a terrible idea, but Ogden's great for a bench player for probably those 20 minutes off the bench. We know that with Junior and Reggie, they're going to play in between 55 and 65 minutes each, so we only really need someone else to do the job. Madison coming on can play middle as well, which obviously allows to give Hopgood a rest. So we only really need, you're going to have Jaff and Gowie and probably Wiramu there if Wiramu does get back on the field this year. But Ogden made 14 tackles and missed 4. So 14 of 18, so 78% tackle. That's not good in the middle. You don't want your middles missing any tackles, to be honest. And if you look at a couple of the others, you got Makatawa as well. Makatawa was 21 of 23. But they've both been dropped this week, and I think they've been dropped based on performances. There's no doubt about that. I'm glad to see Arthur obviously throw the axe, but I've just gone out for me. Things gone off again. But I want to go to Hands. It happens every week, I swear. I want to go to Hands quickly as I log back into my computer. I know you guys can still see me.
We can still hear you too, mate.
Yeah, you can still hear me. I just can't do it. But let's talk about Hands, because Hands, 41 of 47 tackles. Look, it's probably his worst game. And we all wanted Hands to start throughout the year. I know Joel definitely wanted Hands to start, but I don't think any of us ever wanted Hands as an 80-minute player. And he's not. And you can't expect him to be. And it's going to get worse as the year goes on. As these tougher games come on, we can't expect him to play the 80 minutes. So, look, obviously if the club does sign Lussick, it doesn't really matter if they start Hands, they start Lussick. You'd probably like to see them both split for 40 minutes. You know, like, think back to when we had, obviously, you know, Mark Riddell, PJ Marsh there, Brad Drew, PJ Marsh. Like, yeah, obviously that 40-minute split worked perfectly. So it'd be great to work. Or one can play 50, one can play 30. And either of those players will have a great impact off the bench or starting. Like, you know,
are we disappointed through expectation?
What do you mean?
Well, we all wanted Hands to start and play rather than Hodgson, and we sort of expected that. We saw the crazy stats about the points being scored when he's on the field and Hodgson wasn't. So was it like an expectation thing, and we're disappointed now that through his performances, or is it just a simple fact that he's playing 80 minutes?
I'll tell you this about Hands. We all know what a quality player he is and how good he can be moving forward. I think the real worry that was always going to be for this year is the fact that it's first year possible drain. And as the year goes on, it's his first time in the top grade. We might be able to, because now Hodgson's out injured, he doesn't have that help with him. And I personally don't like Hopgood going in there playing that hooker role at the end. I don't like that. Yeah. I think it needs to be, Hopgood needs to be in the middle with Hands as well. I think it really weakens our team quite a lot in that last 10-minute period. The other problem with Hands, it's not necessarily his problem, is that because he hasn't got any help at the moment and the sole reliance is on him, I feel like in a way he might be not his full self and not fully committed at the moment, because he knows the importance we have at the moment with him playing. The other thing over the weekend, obviously that was his worst game, it was because our middles were absolutely horrible. Our forward pack was absolutely demolished, and you can't be a hooker and play a good game. You could have Cameron Smith out there, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. We just got absolutely demolished. So you can't judge him too much of that on the weekend.
You also got to remember too, with our actual, you know, he had a second string halfback and a second row player in 5'8".
Yeah.
Obviously the pressure comes off. I thought Hopgood was probably his worst game of the season as well. And you could tell that he'd had that fatigue of being in that Queensland camp and training his ass off and not out playing golf like the New South Wales players. So you could really tell he'd felt that and he struggled. And, you know, it's just one of those games. Like I said, he kept trying, but like I said, we can't base it off one game. But,
and Matty mentioned it last week. He said that this was a big game for him because he needed to step up and sort of take on a bit more of that attacking roles and stuff. But I don't think he's quite ready for that. And that shouldn't be him getting pushed into that position either on the field. We don't want to rush him to that and overstep his mark. So I just think over the weekend, you can't really judge him off that performance because he couldn't do anything.
Yeah, that's why he didn't kick a 40-20.
I'll score a try.
Oh, yeah. So that's why he's a dirty on him.
Yeah, I noticed that. Has anyone got anything else from the last weekend's game? Obviously, we all mentioned Bailey. Let's go through our player of the match.
We're all going to say Bailey.
Yeah, probably we'll all say Bailey.
Look, he's going there.
Honestly, he's so good. He's been so good lately.
100% he has. And he continues that. Like I said, Will had an off game, but by continuing that and obviously getting our full strength team back, we're going to be very
bold prediction, he'll get the players playing.
Good in
year.
The minutes he played as well, which obviously we've seen him get put back into the side. Not only the try, I thought the effort was there.
Well, look, yeah.
Yes, Brad.
Crossing the guard after down here. Look, for me, for Lane, I feel like he did a little bit too. He probably tried to force his hand a little bit too much again. It's like he's trying to overplay based on last year's form. I think getting back to a full strength team, he just needs to do what comes naturally and get back to the game style he was playing at the start of last year. And obviously then he can, you know, bring all those little trick things back in. And same as Cardi, I thought Cardi was pretty solid again, but tried to bring a little bit too much tricky shit back into his game on Saturday night when we kind of didn't need it. We kind of need to stick to what works for us and take those tough runs. But
so I think anyway, we all think the effort was there, but it was just too much effort in trying too hard.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Well, let's move on. I haven't got much to say about this because I hate Origin, but look, tomorrow night, obviously, good luck to the New South Wales players in Moses, Gutho, RCG. Obviously, well, anything could happen yet. You know, Hopgood could somehow still get called into the team. They could. Queensland sometimes get these mysterious sicknesses that go through the team. It's usually in a deciding game, so I don't think that'll happen this time. You know, this illness that could happen, but look, good luck, boys. Don't get hurt. Just remember, you're probably going to get blamed if we lose the game, even though we've lost the first two games. And that's all I've got to say. We'll stick with the New South Wales boys first. Joel, Troy, anything?
Gutho to come on with about 10 minutes after half time and play probably centre, I reckon. I've got, and score the last try.
I've got Teddy to go off a minute into a HIA from falling into a tackle and Gutho to play 79 minutes. But and then Teddy to never be seen in the Origin Arena again. Joel?
I'll be honest, I actually completely forgot it was on tomorrow night. I had a mental blank and looked at the phone tonight and on a news on Fox Sports and I seen the Origin thing. And I go, oh, shit, Origin's tomorrow night. So that shows you how unmotivated I am for this game. And it's more so the fact I think the New South Wales coaching staff has brought this on themselves, where as fans, I just feel so disinterested with this side at the moment. It's just not funny. Like, this is the most disinterested I've felt to the New South Wales team. Oh, mate, it's a whole lot of things that's just got me fired up. In a way, I just hope to watch them get smashed tomorrow night so that they're forced to make changes, because I have a sneaky feeling, and we have to talk about this in a later show, but I have a feeling New South Wales are going to keep Freddie and Brandy and stuff on because how close they are with the board. So that's my if a massive smashing happens, that'll force their hand. But if it's a close one or if they manage to just win, I anticipate Freddie will stay on. But we need changes.
All right, Hayden. Yeah,
I'll just give the people some. Since you have done your predictions, I'll go David Fifita first try scorer, and for the Blues fans, I reckon Cody Walker will get over. So Cody Walker for the Blues fans to score a try at any time tomorrow night.
Listeners and viewers, check out the Entertainment House YouTube channel for his Origin tips.
Did you pay full price for your tickets, Hayden, or did you get the 2-for-1 offer?
I can't remember. Got the 2-for-1.
The 2-for-1 offer only came out today.
Can I just say one more thing about last week's game? Just like the big shout out to Hayden for just walking straight past me, just brushing me, and after the game around the back there. So I was too slow taking the video. I was going to say, yep, good chat, Hayden.
Look, mate, for evidence for the viewers, I was actually heading down to catch up with Charles Nickel Klockstad, who I haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah, offense, sorry. Yeah, no worries. I mean, someone that you talk to every week rather than some...
Troy so that I could get my photo through the fence with Charles Nickel Klockstad there.
He's a great Parramatta player. Great Parramatta player.
So is Troy Warner.
Yeah, 100%.
One of the all-time greats.
100%.
I'll touch on this. I don't care how shit a fan this makes me seem, but credit to the 6,000 or 7,000 Warriors fans that turned up. It was like a Warriors home game. To the bloke two rows in front of me that was twice my size, and I still managed to run my mouth at him because, look, he enjoy your moment, boys, but you're playing a reserve grade team. Enjoy your moment, but don't get too cocky because, it's... You played us. I'd love to play the Warriors in the final. Like, Warriors fans were great. There was no trouble. But, God, this bloke was lippy. And I ended up telling him, I wish COVID was around so he could kick his back over the border.
But in all seriousness, it was great to see $100,000 raised for the Daniel Anderson Fund as well on the weekend.
Yeah, well, they got my money. And I was only there for 60 minutes because I walked out with 20 to go. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I never leave Parramatta games early. But I didn't want to see 50 and I felt like it was coming. So if I didn't see it, it didn't happen. I had a 2-year-old child that was over, and I got home from Parramatta to Maitland in 1 hour and 24 minutes. So it shows how keen I was to get out of there for those playing at home.
Anyway, that's all last right, week.
That's last week. Moving forward. All right. This week's game. Sorry. At least we got a good turnaround. That's the one positive I'm going to take out this Sunday 6:15 game, because Sunday 6:15 games are worse than Monday 7 o'clock games. Does anyone agree with me, or did everyone hate that Monday 7 o'clock game?
Well, I have Mondays off work, so it doesn't really matter. So I don't mind the Monday game.
It was good TV.
I work from home. Exactly right. Monday 7 o'clock was good TV. At least you could watch something on a Monday night. Sunday 6:15 to go to is just so unmotivating.
Too late, isn't it? It's just annoying.
Yeah,
I understand it during daylight savings. I understand it during the daylight savings where, you know, it gets later, families can be out there, but it's just stupid.
It's just dumb. I know, ridiculous.
I know the whole point of it is obviously to give
ludicrous
investigation into this.
Yeah.
Let's just put the first game on at like 12 o'clock midday and then the second game at 2 o'clock, the third game at 4 o'clock.
They could literally do what they did that time for that. Before Magic Round was a thing, remember I think they had a couple of games at Suncorp, but it was one of the Anzac days and there was a game at 12, 2, 4, 6 and 8. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, you've got the Warriors playing at 2 o'clock against Cronulla on the Sunday, which is essentially 4 o'clock over there. So you could have even had a 12 o'clock game in New Zealand, a 2 o'clock game and a 4 o'clock game. But anyway, I don't know why the NRL do half the things they do, and I don't think Abdo knows why he does half the things he does. Just look at the draw, for Christ's sake. But let's not get there again. let's talk about the game. Obviously, team list is out this week. I'll run through the team list first.
Can you get it up this week?
Actually, Joel, can you get it up this week? Because I think I should give you the honour of bringing up this week's team and getting it done.
Do we need to call Pilot again?
Keep talking amongst yourselves.
You can't use the same like joke 2 weeks in a row, Troy.
Well, I know, but...
I want Joel to read. Actually, Joel, I'll go through the back line for you, all right? So the back line is Gutherson at fullback, Russell on my...
Oh, you just want me to read it? I thought you wanted me to bring it up on the screen. You just want me to read it?
I just want you to read it. Yeah,
Read it.
So Sivo, Russell, Penasini, Simonson, RC at 5'8", and Moses at halfback. Joel, take it away.
Okay, and then we've got you, Dejan Arce 6, Mitchell Moses 7. Reggie Boy, Regan Campbell Gillard 8, Brendan Hans is your hooker, Junior Palo is your other prop, Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright, Jermaine Hopgood, that's your starting pack, Luca Moretti, Joe Offahengawi, pull up your socks, brother, Andrew Davey, Ryan Madison. And then on the reserves, you got Ofiki Ogden, Makatoa, Wonga Blake, he's sitting there, Matt Dury, no idea why he's not even up further, Hayes Dunstar, and Adam's favourite, Isaac Lumi-Lumi. And your referee will be Chris Butler.
Now, Joel, Besides the fact you put on a fancy accent there, what's your favourite thing about that forward pack?
That there's no Andrew Davey in the starting pack.
Okay. He's had his moment, guys. We've let him have his moment. He's been asking for it for weeks and he's got it. But for me, I don't think Lane's ready to start yet, to be honest. He's not.
It shouldn't be him. It should be Dury. I don't know what Dury's done wrong. Like, he's literally shown every time he's played, for mine, he's in our top two second row edge forwards at the moment. And for whatever personal vendetta BA has on the bloke is impacting the team now, because Dury, he would have been able to keep up with Johnson on the weekend. Davey literally in the first 5 minutes was already struggling and he would have been at his healthiest and fittest of the match. So Dury for mine should be in the 17. At the way this is going, I agree with Adam. Lane shouldn't be starting yet. He didn't do enough on the weekend to be rewarded with a starting spot. Dury has been outstanding every time he's played. He hasn't put a foot wrong. So, yeah, I'm a bit shocked.
Is it a money thing? Is it like one of those things where the players starting, not so much Davey, but Lane, for example, they're taking up more space in the salary cap than Dury, who we got cheap? Do you reckon it's one of those things to keep the board happy in a way?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you're on. If you've spent 8 weeks on the sidelines due to injury, then you should work your way back into the starting lineup playing New South Wales Cup. I mean,
we all called for Lane to be in New South Wales Cup, obviously, before he got injured. But I don't know, for me, it's one of the things that you look at Dory, obviously the 21 there, and he'll play New South Wales Cup this week. If you had Lane in New South Wales Cup on $700,000 or whatever the big contract he signed last year, it asks questions, you know. And
yeah, but the answer is he's coming back from injury, a serious injury. So, and he's had an injury-riddled season, so he hasn't had the game time and the game experience to play.
I agree with you. But he's not going to make the call because it's Brad Arthur. He's never been afraid, able to make those calls, really. So, look, Hayden, your thoughts on the team?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good, solid team. I think it's good to see that, you know, the axe has been put down on those players who underperformed last week. Obviously, we were missing key players, but we've mentioned all night that we were destroyed through the middle. I think it's interesting that Offa Hangiawi and Hands have been named, and I wonder whether there'll be some changes due to some injury there. Obviously, went off throughout the game, so they'll be monitored, I think, throughout the week. But, as long as, you know, the boys, Gutho, Moses and RCG, as well as Hopgood, if he does play back up from Origin, then, you know, we should be able to bounce back on Sunday night.
Did Hands go off injured, or was that just BA's masterstroke of substitutions that he did?
No, I think he was injured. He was carrying an injury after the game.
Oh, he was, okay.
Someone said that they saw him. I can't remember what he was in. I think it was a foot injury.
No, he walked out fine.
Someone said he got injured early in the game.
You wouldn't know because you were going down to talk to the Warriors players, so so you didn't see him. But no, he walked out fine. He was all right.
Look, looking at that team, I think we're almost at full form. And we've been saying that for a while. We never seem to get there. Obviously, that starting team, it's probably the way it remains now. Lane obviously going to their Cartwright in the second row. We never thought we'd say that, Cartwright. There. Obviously, Brown will come back into 5-8. But the back line shouldn't change besides that, even though we've kind of wanted to. There's a couple of players that need to lift their game. But for me, it's kind of the bench that's going to make up what our strongest team is. And
does Arcee go back to the bench when Brown comes back?
Well, it depends if we sign Lustig, doesn't it?
True, true.
If we sign Joey Lustig from St Helens, who have just won four comps in a row, they're sitting about six now, and he's still playing good football. But if we sign him to come over, and look, where there's smoke, there's fire. What I'm hearing from England is that St Helens have agreed to release him. So the problem now is it comes back to a lot of transfer stuff. Obviously, transfer deals need to be done with the Super League and it comes in your cap space. So it depends how much money they want. I don't know how long he has left to run on his contract over there, which usually plays a part in it. So hopefully he's off contract at the end of the year. But if he comes back, we'll see Arcee drop out altogether. And look, it's obviously good to have that backup seven or six there. You think he'd pretty much be named the 18th man every week, take the Jake Arthur role there. But look, based on the fact if we sign Lustig, I think I'd like to see Lustig at 9 and Hands at 14. I think Hands will have more of an impact off the bench. But I don't think it'll happen it kind of depends how much our structures change and our attacking structures change since Lussick was here those years ago. Because it's a lot to ask for a player to come in at hooker, and if he's just going to feed the ball, that's fine. But it's a lot to ask him to come in this late in the season. So one of them will be 9, one of them will be 14 if he signed. I think we go often Giawi will stay there based on the money he's on, and Madison. I just think it's stupid that we're currently carrying 3 second rowers slash a lock second rower on our bench. I know Madison can play middle, but really, we should have another front rower there. Unless the plan is for Maddo to play front row or Moretti to play front row, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I'd be going Hand slash Lussick at 14, often Gowey, based on the fact he's a mid-season signing, he's come across. Madison, can probably, if he gets back on the field, will be my favourite player. Where am I, Greg? Who would you boys
have? We're missing him at the moment. We are missing
Miramir. Yeah, he was one of the form front rowers, like for us anyway, when he was playing before he got injured. So, yeah, you'd like to think that he would probably take a bench spot when he comes back.
If he comes back, it's a very hard injury to come back.
It is, but if he doesn't come back, then I'd probably put Ogden in the side on the bench.
So that's a hard one, isn't it? Offengawi is a front row, but he's a second row as well. So Offengawi can cover all positions.
I offer as a prop.
Take out Joel's favourite player, and then problem solved. Take Davey out and put Ogden in.
On the David, just mentioning him as a bench forward, he's not a bench forward at all. Like, it's just such a silly move to put him on the bench. It's like showing us fans that the only reason he's been in the team for as long as he has is because his BA's made or something. Like, that's what it feels like, because he's not going to provide any impact off the bench. He's not one of those players that will come on for a 15, 20-minute stint and bend the line back. He's one of those players who you want to play 80 minutes and just have him do effort upon effort plays. He's not going to come on there and bust the line open and things like that. Like, that's just not him. So I don't know why he's even... If he's not starting, he shouldn't be in the team. He's on a bench forward.
Look, I think he's there this week to cover Lane. I'm going to go again.
We can still hear you, mate. It's okay.
I think the plan this week will be to... Obviously, with not knowing what the minutes Reg will get through, but often Gowie will play front row. Madison will play front row. I think Davey's there to cover Lane to see how many minutes Lane can get back through, because I think the plan around Moretti will be to play him at lock. And I think Hopgood needs a bit of rest, but obviously Hands as well. Like, you know, this game against the Gold Coast, realistically, I think it's, I'm not going to spoil my bold prediction, but it's a game we should win comfortably if we are fair dinkum about going on this competition. So if the opportunity presents to give Hands a rest, I'd be giving Hopgood a rest just after halftime and giving Hands the last 20 off and playing Hopgood at hooker. And Moretti there. Moretti can play that last 40 minutes. But I think he's there for cover, because really there's no other reason you'd name 3 second rowers on your bench, is there? Unless you're New South Wales and
facilities. Well, you're the coach, mate, so
it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can we please stop putting Hopgood at hooker? Like, please, can we just stop it? Stop that. Well, like, he's just not a hooker. Like, and it's taking away one of our key attacking aspects, which is him running to the line. He has great ball-playing ability and an offload. Like, it's just stupid. Like, he should be the last person that goes to hooker. Like, I'm sorry, but it's just dumb. Like, we shouldn't be doing it. We've clearly seen the last 2 weeks. But it's like we've seen in the last 2 weeks when it's happened in the last 10 minutes, we've probably played our worst football. And last weekend, we were bad. So to say that was our worst, like, that's saying something. So... It should be happening.
You think if we were ahead 20-18 or down 20-18, it wouldn't have happened? We're ahead so comfortable with the game before, and obviously last week the game was done, so it's probably wise to take that opportunity and rest. But I think he knows that. Like, he obviously knows that by the fact we are chasing Lussick. So he knows that he's obviously fatigued and that's not the best option to go with. But look, we've seen worse things.
If he is needing to do that, why don't we do like a left field option? Is there an option where we start doing a Brad Fittler and put a back person on the bench while we don't have Hodgson around and we haven't got Lussick yet? And once we do see Hands being too tired and needs a rest, just put Gutho up into the line and let him play hooker in the second half for a 20-minute spell or whatever it is, and have one of these backline players who can't get a game, so maybe your Wonga Blakes or something, and they can come on to wing. Russell goes back to fullback for a 20-minute stint, and that way. I just feel like that might be a better balance than having our best forward for the year so far in Hopgood playing out of position and not being able
maybe
to do
his play to each other. Watch the Origin tomorrow night, and maybe if Cuthbert goes into hooker, you might do that on the weekend.
True. All right, before we get to our bold predictions, I just want to quickly give a shout-out as well. One thing I forgot to mention. New South Wales under-19s game on Thursday night at Redcliffe. Look, obviously a couple of the young kids have come through that SG ball system and big raps on them. Very surprised that Richard Pennicini wasn't picked. I know he's obviously eligible for New South Wales because his brother is, but wasn't considered apparently. But you got Charlie Guma and Sam Tiavate. I don't know how to say that. I'm terrible with names. Playing there, both from Parramatta SG Ball, and Ethan Sanders playing as well. So I'm excited to see how he goes. I'm excited to see if he's someone we, you know, how we develop, because I had this conversation today on another group about our lack of ability to kind of bring players who I know I've mentioned it before, but I'm trying to find the post. It was about Lussick. It was about the Lussick post.
Have you got another group that you talk to?
No, this is the Parramatta group. I can't actually remember what I said, but I made the point of, yeah, it was about Lussick and stuff and people making obviously a point, but we know I've got a good young hooker coming through in Matt Arthur. I just don't think we're developing our players right. Matt Arthur by now should have been in New South Wales Cup. He really should have. He's had enough weeks in SG Ball. SGB Ball are falling as well. They're falling pretty fast. They were sitting about third, and now they're starting to drop. Because let's be honest, as good as that SG Ball team was, the amount of players gone in there, we'll probably only ever see four or five of them make first grade, if that. The amount of good kids that come through and don't make it is unbelievable. So don't hold them up. And if Matt Arthur wasn't Brad Arthur's son, I have no doubt he'd be in New South Wales Cup right now, and we wouldn't be considering signing Joey Lussick. Given what happened with Jake and the shit he copped and the booing and all this stuff, I have no doubt that Brad has fears of bringing his next son through. As a fan of obviously the team, and I've watched a bit of his footy and stuff, I know the kid's going to have talent, so I never bagged Jake.
It's a real shame too, because we are a development club, so obviously we're not developing players and giving them that opportunity.
Well, we've seen obviously our pathways changing with obviously Nathan Brown and Poyden and stuff like that, but I don't know, we need to do more, because... Can you name the last really, what was it? Probably Pennicini was the last real gun to come through. Obviously, Russell and Jake come out of that team as well, but there wasn't an excitement around Russell. There wasn't an excitement around Jake. There was an excitement around Pennicini. I can't think before that who the last player was.
Is it a fact of that these days the rules are a lot harder to promote players and stuff like that?
You know, my biggest criticism is of game day experience, because as someone who used to go to games when I was younger and stuff, remember when there was all three games on, you know the reserve grade players. Like, I remember sitting there watching a young Johnny Menner and Tim Menner playing for the, you know, Parramatta reserve grade, thinking how good's it going to be when these kids come through? They're absolutely killing it. You know, like, we obviously Tim went on, Johnny went across to Cronulla before coming back to Parramatta before unfortunately passing away, but... It's one of those things you used to love seeing. You used to love watching the kids in reserve grade, and we don't use it right now. Like New South Wales Cup, and I've said it before from players that have been involved in the system, New South Wales Cup was getting dropped from under-20s back in the day. Under-20s was seen as the higher grade. That's just completely wrong. Like, should we first grade, reserve grade? Get rid of this New South Wales Queensland Cup shit. Go back to proper reserve grade where everyone has a team. But... I guess it's one of the things that suffered because of the salary cap.
It was also a Toyota Cup. Losing that was a massive sort of dent in the armour of youngsters coming through. And that's just not for Parramatta, that's for all clubs, because that was a really good nursery to bringing those young guns in. And that competition was so good. When you look back at it and see the quality, it was really, I know it was a lot of high scoring games, but it was really good for them to play week in, week out, tough football. And speaking to a lot of the players and stuff and past players who are saying that period is really good. It's now sort of gone backwards in the development side of it. And I think the other thing is coaches these days will always choose the reliable option instead of the youngster option. Like, look at someone like the Dragons, for instance. So you would always pick Moses Embiid instead of going for one of their youngsters because the coach at the time felt like it was safer for his job moving forward to have that reliability than to have a youngster come out who would have been absolutely phenomenal. So, or at least blood them to become the star that a lot of people had talked about. So it's difficult.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out. I know it wasn't like the reserve grade comp, but I think it was 2006 or 2007. I think it was when Wentworthville won. Do you know what it was, Troy?
What was that, sorry?
2006 when Wentworthville won the New South Wales Cup Grand Final. And if you look through some of the names in that team and what they went on to, like, you know, like James Maloney was there. There was just so many good players that you'd sit there and watch every week. And they obviously went on to play a lot of NRL games. And you just don't see that anymore. Like, you know, if they haven't made NRL in their first or second year of playing New South Wales Cup, they usually drop off and go back and play bush footy, to be honest. So it's just, well, I think something needs to be done. They talk about doing so much for the game, making all these changes. I think it's one thing every fan would love to see is be able to go watch three games of football on the game day experience.
So, I'm worried about us keeping Ethan Saunders as well, to be honest. With this current drain in the player market with terms of playmakers, I'm really worried about. I think a lot of desperate clubs at the moment will put a lot of money into him early.
Yeah, but that's a difficult one because he's going to be stuck behind Dylan and behind Mitchell. So
no, that's what I mean. It's just a hard, tough situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
but he's not. He's not going to be stuck. That's where we're wrong. If he's better, he shouldn't be stuck. Like, if this kid comes out on Thursday night and sets up five tries and scores a try and kicks all these goals in a New South Wales origin. I know it's only under 19s, but remember he's only 18 as well. So if he does that, we've got to find a way to force him into the team. We've got to see what we can change. Like, everyone is forgetting that Ryan Madison come through as a 5'8 halfback. Like, Sanders is a pretty big kid when you look at him. He come through as a halfback 5'8 and we didn't put the development into him. We just shipped him off and said, oh, it's too hard. And we got him back eventually as an edge second row with the ability to ball play like no one else really when he does his best ball playing. That's what frustrates me. And he's not the only one to say it. But if he's good enough to come through, let's say it's a year or two away, and take a 14 spot, you've seen so many players over the time. Like Michael Morgan, for example, at the Cowboys. They brought him in as a 14 and then he forced his way into a starting spot and, you know, played a bit of fullback, didn't he, before going to 5'8 and stuff like that. There's ways around things and you get injuries throughout your year. So just to say, oh, I know they're going to throw money. Canberra's going to throw big money and they're desperate. As I said, there's a halfback shortage. But if he has an awesome preseason next year, you put him at 14 at the start of the year. You know, obviously you have someone like Matt Arthur could be forcing his way there too, but yeah, it's just hard for me. I don't know. Like,
Who's your danger players for this weekend's game from the Gold Coast?
Probably Tino. Scored in his last three games. You know, if Queensland do, which they go in as favourites to win Origin, Tino's probably riding a lot of confidence.
Is he going to keep his elbows down and his forearms down as well?
Let's wait and see.
I think Fifita's been in great form as well, so that's obviously their two big guns. And the form Jaden Campbell showed on the weekend was something out of this world. We haven't seen that often. So
yeah, I know
he's on the bench, but you never know what they can do. They might be able to get him on to start earlier, and he's a live wire, so he could be one of their coaches.
Did you just say a young promising player who's a half 5'8 playing 14 on the bench? They can find a way to
fullback.
Get him.
He's a fullback.
He's a fullback, half 5'8". He can play anywhere. Yeah.
Well, anyway. I wish we signed him. That'd have been good.
Apparently, Gutho can play fullback, 5'8", wing, halfback, centre.
Let's get on to our bowl predictions for the week. I'm going to go first because I've actually had one ready since Saturday night. So I'm going to go.
When he left.
Yeah. I'm going to go Parramatta to win. We're going to go on with the game, boys. We're actually going to go on with
the game. I like it.
Parramatta win 58-4.
Ooh,
oh, fuck.
I like it.
This is our one big win for where we go on with the game.
Out of nowhere.
All right. And
add the Titans to the list of 50 plus points.
On the list. Yep. My first try score, right. This isn't very brave, but I'm going Sivo because I feel like he'll score a couple of tries, which isn't my bold prediction, but I think he'll score a hat-trick or something. He's due. He's been on a bit of a drought and look, he needs to perform. I know I've bagged him out before, so Sivo. And my bold prediction, which isn't very bold given my scoreline, which is very bold, but my bold prediction is for Parramatta to reverse last week's for and against.
Oh, the fans will love you for that.
Yeah, well,
we've heard last weekend is, oh no, the for and against.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what I said walking out too. Hayden?
I think we can not go. I think we can go on with it as well.
68.
Not in the 50s or 60s there. I just hope for a decent victory. The for and against is a big factor right now, sitting comfortably out of a chance to the top four, but with a big win, still could boost the chances. I'll go 30 points to 14, so Parramatta by 16 points. First try scorer, I'm going to go with returning fullback Clint Gutherson. And my bold prediction is Gutherson to score a double and do the Gutherino for Try July.
That should be 10K.
He's retired that, I think, at the moment.
I reckon he'll do some type. Okay, he'll do some type of try celebration for Try July.
But that was one of the disappointing things about the Warriors last week. They scored 46 points and they didn't do any try celebrations.
All right, Troy.
Well, look, Adam, I've thought about this too today, and I'm going with your angle.
That's very professional the way you said that.
Yeah, look, I'm going on with your prediction. Not exactly your score, but I think we're going to put 50 on the Titans. I think we're really going to aim up in this game. And look, Gutho, he's going to have a blinder. He's going to make a statement in this game. And the boys
will be fresh after playing 5 minutes tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think we get longer than five. But look, first try scorer, I'm going to go Sean Russell. I'm going to mix it up. I'll go Sean Russell for first try scorer. And look, the bold prediction, you just touched on it just before. Mike Acevo to score a hat trick. He hasn't scored at CommBank in a few weeks. So he'll want to get that record, that great record that he's got, back into tack. And
Staley Fawn is like 41 in 48 games now.
Yeah, so it's slipping. So he wants to score those tries to get that back up there. So yeah, 50 to 20, and Micah to score three tries. Sean Russell for the first try.
That'll bring him to 44 tries in 49 games.
Yeah, so he'll play against the Dragons there too, so maybe that's another triple, so he'll get back up there.
It's probably a combined total of those 44 tries of about 230 metres ran for him. All right, Joel, what do you got?
Firstly, if anyone thinks the New South Wales Blues have a bad bench makeup tomorrow night, quickly go and look at the Titans bench because it's one of the worst benches I've ever seen. You've got Campbell, Chris Randall, Aaron Clark, and JoJo Fifita. That is one of the worst makeup benches I've ever seen.
I don't know why they're not giving that Jacob Ullick a run. He had an awesome debut the other day. I don't know why he's not in.
And Isaac Farsour Malawi's been all right, so I'm surprised he's not there either. But
let's just hope Aaron Clark's offside a few times.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, I think a lot of you, and not as much Hayden, but the other two, you've been very disrespectful to the Titans.
Yes, we are, but
I think they're playing quite well. And I think this is a bit of a danger game. I think we're all
they're due for a bad game.
No, I think they're making a run. I think they're making a bit of a run. They want to impress before Dez gets there and takes them to premiership glory over the next few years. The Gold Coast will be buzzing.
Oh, Dez is up there next year, the Nutty Professor.
Ben I reckon Hunt. We'll win this game. Excuse me, Troy, it's my moment, not yours. I reckon Parra will win 26 to 14.
Oh,
so they'll get that up. First try will be first try I'll go Gutho, first try scorer. I think he'll get that done there. And I'll have all That's four centres. Why not?
Because I picked Gutho first try scorer.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had him as your bold prediction. Sorry, bro. I'll go Bailey. Has anyone gone Bailey? I'll go Bailey. No. Yeah, I'll go Bailey, first try scorer. And all four centres will score at least one try in this game, is my bold.
Okay.
So,
Well,
checking. Can I just check? I don't think I do. Do I get a point last week for first Parramatta try scorer, Bailey Simon?
Nah.
You no used to do it, but you don't do it anymore.
I think Adam changes the rules every week.
Yeah.
If it was Adam would have given him some points.
Get the point.
Yeah, he changes the rules every week.
He can't win anyway. It doesn't matter how many points you get. I've just looked at that bench and nothing screams of interim coach more than that bench. For those who don't know the players, because you mentioned the players, they've got Jaden Campbell, who's a fullback. I know he can play halves well, but he's a fullback. They've got Chris Randall playing hooker. Clark is a lock.
Hooker.
And then they've got JJ Fifita as a winger.
A winger. Wait, is every... And the funny thing is, they've got three forwards that are backing up from Origin as well. So they can't have them playing too many minutes.
No. Hey, 58 to 4 is looking better now, isn't it?
Yeah, right, same guys. With 50 to 20, maybe. Many,
I don't think we've got many questions, to be honest. I think we've got a few more going on. So we'll just leave it at that for the night. And
just one, oh, wait, there was one about your man, Isaac Lumilumi. I don't know if you want to answer that one or not, but.
Which one?
I think it's a serious question. Like he has said, like we want to address it.
Well, he done straight, so I believe so.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he said he can. I think it's been asked in the past. He said he can. I think it's one eye he can. One eye, it's like 50-50 or something, but who knows.
So when we've got the ball, he can. When we haven't got the ball, that's the 50-50.
That's why his defensive issues.
Catch you next week, reviewing that huge Parramatta win on the weekend. And obviously we'll do a bit of a wrap-up of Origin and how many minutes Cuffo played. So catch you all next week.
Go Parramatta.